Hello, you're very welcome to the Mindset on You podcast with me, Audrin Fitzgerald. And don't forget to like and subscribe and to send on to your friends. And every Tuesday we try to put out a podcast and hope you enjoy it. So sit back, relax, and tonight we are going back to music. And you're very welcome to episode 5 of Mindset on You. And joining me tonight is young Miss Claire Broderick. Claire, how the hell are you?
Hello there. I'm absolutely great. Thanks very much. Yes, yeah. So, all rested after the Christmas break.
Good. And it was a nice little break. It was nice to get a little bit of time off work and to just relax and possibly listen to some music, do you think?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Christmas is all about the music, isn't it? Well, for me anyway. It's like, it's such a big part of Christmas. Definitely that builds up to Christmas.
It is. So on the first episode, I talked about music, but I talked about it on my own, and I think it was just a little bit boring listening to some Irish redneck out in the middle of South Carolina waffle on about music. And I think I needed to explore it again. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, it's such a, like, it's so important. And that, yeah, absolutely. You gotta bring it back out again.
So what has you in music? Like, what is your musical background?
Yeah. So, like, when I was in school, you know, just sang in the school choir, didn't really think much of it, like, really enjoyed it. And then I got in secondary school and I'd kind of, you know, I'd started against, you know, singing with school choir there. Like, love singing. Just there kind of discovered, actually, I really enjoyed it. And got involved in musical theatre. So that's kind of really, I suppose, where I started off with. And, you know, had some lead roles in productions and stuff. And kind of that's where it all started.
So did anybody in particular get you into the choir? Like, did someone come up to you and say, this is a great way to get some time off class. How about come on over and have a bit of fun? Was there that, or was it, did you grow up with music?
My mom sang in a choral society, Mullingar Choral Society. She had sung with them. So, you know, I would have gone and seen some of those concerts, and that would have been kind of, my introduction to choral music. But I think it was just getting involved in musical theatre. Like, I'd always loved kind of Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals and that kind of thing. So it wasn't necessarily that my family were kind of that, you know, that big into it. Like, my dad is totally tone deaf. He's definitely not into anything like that.
Does he sing though?
No.
Literally
in school, a teacher said to him once, can you not sing and can you just mouth the words instead? Like, he was that bad. So,
So, all right. So your mom was in the choral society. So you always had, you would have definitely had music in the house. You would have definitely had, like, as you say, you had the musical, like, was the musical music played in the house, or was it like dad rock kind of thing?
That was something that I think my aunt and uncle always had, like, CDs and like tapes back in the day. I think when we were like really young, it was always like tapes. Like, you know, Teddy Bear's Picnic and all of those kind of childhood songs. So we would sit in the back of the car. We'd often travel to England and, like, you know, we'd drive. So, we would have had those tapes on. And I mean, we would have sung along to those. And I think Les Miserables was one of the first musicals that my parents would have taken me to in London. And I mean, that tape was literally on repeat in the car. Buddy Holly, that was another one as well. There was a musical of that, like, years ago.
Yeah.
And that was another one that we all would just sing along to the whole time. Even my dad.
So now that you've obviously, I mean, we're going to get back into the musicals that you've done and the plays and all the, like, your music journey up to now. But if you're sitting in the house, if you're just, you know, messing around the house doing nothing, would you have music on?
Sometimes, yeah. Like, most of the time. So, you know, like, even if I'm just, like, cleaning at the weekend, I'll have something like, I think yesterday I think I put on Aqua and all, you know, kind of track tunes from the 90s in that genre.
Barbie Girl.
Love Aqua. Like,
oh my
Barbie
God.
Girl, 100%. Telling you, they're brilliant. They're still going. Like, they still gig a lot.
Yeah, I seen something about them. The new Barbie movie that's coming out. Can't remember who's in. I think Margot Robbie's in it. And
yeah,
what's that good looking young fella? What's his name?
Yeah. Oh,
is it Ryan Gosling?
Ryan Gosling, that's it. Yeah, so well remembered.
I think with them in it and with the new Barbie movie coming out, I think the Barbie girl thing has got a revamp. I believe that there's music from Aqua is in the movie. I'm not sure, but...
I need to Google that after this conversation.
Oh, I'll Google it. I'll put it up in the show notes. But so you listen to cheesy music. Some people might say, I wouldn't be one of these people, but some people might say that all musical music, like music from the musicals, is a bit cheesy.
Oh. I don't see how you can put musical theatre into one box and just say, oh, I don't like musical theatre. It is. It's just cheesy. Because, I mean, the thing is, there are so many different genres. And I think to reduce something like musical theatre just down to it's one art form, like, I think it's just so much bigger than that. And I mean, if you look at the numbers of people who attend, you know, like all the shows, I mean, Phantom of the Opera has been running for how many years? Like, I'm sure Les Mis has been running for nearly 30 years at this point. Yeah. Sure, it was a 20th anniversary concert like a while back. It's a really, really popular art form.
I don't think
you just reduce it down.
It definitely is. And I don't want to put all of the different musical theatre into one genre. But like when you go see, like if you go see Little Shop of Horrors, you go see, I don't mean musical theatre, but a musical itself. I mean, they are corny as hell. Like, they're great fun. They're brilliant fun. Like, I mean, you're going to walk out. If you go to see Cats or you go see something along those lines or The Lion King or something, you're going to stroll out of that place and you're going to be singing them songs and you're going to be giggling, you're going to be laughing, you're going to be, oh my God, that was so cheesy. But yes, when you're talking about Les Mis and Phantom of the Opera and some of the other ones just can't come to my brain at the minute, but it's more of an emotional journey than anything else. And it's not just what you're seeing on stage. It's what you bring with you. And it's...
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even...
Yeah, I agree. Because, there's so many different, like, types of musicals. I mean, if you look at, like, back in the 90s, there was Rent, the musical. And, you know, it was about people struggling to live and, you know, people who were with AIDS and all that kind of thing. And it was, you know, very much of the time.
Sorry.
Tackling tough things.
It is. But, like, every time I hear Rent and, you know, I know there's the AIDS thing in it. You remember Team America?
I do. Literally, as soon as you started there, I knew that's where you were going to go with it. It was brilliant as well, wasn't it?
It had the music in it, and what was the song? Everybody Has AIDS. I'm like, I think that I touched on that a little bit. That's what music does to you. I mean, so you're talking about Rent. You know, it's hard hitting. It's got some emotional stuff in it. And instantly, my brain, now I don't know whether it's just my brain, but my brain just went to, it just went to the giggles and just went to, everybody has AIDS.
definitely that is, brings it to mind. But I mean, and I suppose you touched on something important there, though. It is the emotion that, you know, goes along with music and the power that it has. And I think, you know, that's such an important part of music, is that emotion that goes with it.
Have you ever had music make you cry?
Oh, 100%. I think the most recent time, I did a concert in Windsor Park. So this would have been just after the Queen passed away.
Yeah.
And I sing at the chamber choir there, and we actually sing in the Queen's chapel. So she actually, like, every Sunday would have gone to this small chapel, which is in the grounds of Windsor, maybe a mile away from Windsor Castle. And so we sang some pieces that were all the way from King Henry, Henry VIII.
Oh, yeah.
And we sang, our opening number was actually a piece that was written by him. And we sang lots of different pieces through the different royal courts, right the way up until like today's music. And one of our last pieces actually was written by the conductor. He was commissioned to write a piece. So the day that she passed away, he got a phone call saying, look, could you write a piece of music for the Sunday service for her on the day of her funeral?
Yeah.
So he did. But it was the last piece that we sang. And actually, it was incredibly emotional to be part of something, like to feel like I was part of history. And they opened the back doors to the church, which meant that we could walk down the aisle, which is very, very unusual that they allow people to walk through that door. Yeah. But I think because it was such an important concert, you know, that. And I walked out, and I just literally, as soon as I got out the door, just tears were streaming down my face. And it was just feeling that connection with history. And I think, like, I mean, music, what, like, music has just been around forever. And, you know, it connects societies, and it brings people together, and just so many positive benefits to it.
Oh, it does. Oh, 100%. And I mean, it brings on so many, and I want to say raw emotion, because sometimes it is just completely, you don't know what to do with it. You don't know, like, you can't stop yourself crying. You can't stop yourself laughing. You can't, like, you know, it's just, it. And some pieces of music will stir everything from the saddest of sad up to, you know, exhilaration and kind of just, this is the best piece of music ever. When you were singing in the Queen's Chapel, were any of the royals there?
Not in that particular one, but there would have been a lot of people who lived sort of on the grounds and in the area, people who would have, you know, who would have known the Queen. One of the guys who played organ in part of the concert, he plays there frequently, so he would have played for the Queen on several different occasions. And one of the priests as well that spoke at the very beginning, he would have, you know, said mass there on many a Sunday that she would have attended. But no actual royals, I don't think.
Okay. Harry and Meghan weren't there. You weren't trying to, like, you know, kind of walk up to Harry
and
just
goodness.
Say, your one there is no good for you at all. You know, get a good English girl for yourself, good Irish English girl in the grand.
Yeah, they're definitely interesting figures at the moment, aren't they, those two?
I wouldn't. Yeah. In all fairness, if they were in the front yard, I'd call the cops. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So... musical theatre, right? If you could, if you could be in any, like, play or in any show, what would it be? If there was, like, one show that you've never been in, but you were just kind of like, I really just want to just feckin' get into it.
That is one of those. Oh, there's a musical called Chess, which is totally cheesy, but
God,
it has some great numbers in it. It's written
one
by
One Night in Bangkok and all that.
That's exactly. Yes. One Night in Bangkok, and there's another famous one, I Knew Him So Well, which was kind of, you know, quite popular in the 80s. Yeah. And I mean, it is very much of the time. But
was
it's really good.
Was it written by Benny or by Bjorn or one of
it
those?
It was, both of them, Benny and Bjorn. They both wrote the music for it. And then Tim Rice, who wrote a lot of the lyrics for Andrew Lloyd Webber's musicals, he did a lot of the lyrics for it. So it's, you know, it's definitely got a little bit of an ABBA twist to it. It's quite an interesting one. It's set with the backdrop of kind of the Cold War. So you've got, like, an American chess player and you've got a Russian chess player.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of history in there. But it's quite an interesting one. It has to be done well or it's really, like, really a bit tacky. But it's good. It's just got, one or two really good pieces in it.
I think the line, I remember seeing it years ago, and I think the line between tacky and serious is very faint.
Yes.
It's extremely faint. And I can just imagine the two boys, Benny and Bjorn. He's like, the ABBA is now finished. What do you want to do? How about we do a thing about playing chess? That sounds good to me.
I bet that's exactly how the conversation went.
That is how the conversation went. One of the girls was telling me, what was her name? Anna or Friedrich or whatever the hell. Kind of.
Yeah.
But no, they were chatting to me there and they says to me, you know, Odi, That's how chess came about. And I was like, all right, fair enough.
You
wouldn't think it's
like it.
So you want to be in chess. Yeah. So what was your favourite play that you were in or the favourite musical that you were in?
It's really difficult because, I mean, I did a production of Rent myself. I'd say that's probably one of the most closely bonded shows I've ever done. And I think that's kind of a really, really big part of it. Like, when you're part of... when taking part in a musical, you become like family because you see these people a lot. And it's just really intense relationships that you build with people on it. And I just had a really good group of people that we did it with. And it was just a really special one, definitely that.
Okay. I don't think myself and yourself have ever been in a musical together, have we?
No, we haven't. No.
Yeah, I think you were always off gallivanting and then I moved off to America.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think our paths just didn't quite cross on that.
So if somebody was to say to you, you've got one album that you're going to listen to for the rest of your life, you're not allowed to listen to another album, what are you going to pick? It can't be a compilation.
Okay, it would probably have to be Muse, I think, then.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. Because I just think I love quite big music. And like, I do like choral music and I like orchestral music. And I think Muse just kind of covers that. They've got some really epic pieces. I remember going to see, I think they played Origin of Symmetry at Reading Festival years ago. And I mean, it was just like, yeah, it's just like their parts were just absolutely spectacular. So yeah, probably something like maybe Origin of Symmetry or something like that, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. What would you? What would your one be?
I honestly could not answer that. Like, no, there's so many. I mean, there's loads of, I like loads of instrumental artemists. Loads of
Artemis, yeah.
instrumental artemists, and I like Muse, I like Led Zeppelin, Slipknot,
Yeah.
Metallica, Foo Fighters. I'd say it'd probably be something by the Foo Fighters.
Yeah, okay.
I think so. I
Yeah.
think if yeah, either that or Pearl Jam, but I think it's yeah, it'd be something from Seattle from the 90s, and
Right.
I'd be quite happy, I think. Not so much Nirvana. I do like Nirvana, but at the same time, yeah.
If that was it forever, yeah.
If that was
Yeah,
it
you
forever, I
can't have
think.
myth for if it's gonna be forever.
Yeah, I think so. I think yeah. I think it definitely would. It'd be something from Seattle, something from the 90s, and
Yeah.
something along those lines. So if here's another big if. You're at home, you've
Yeah.
had a shitty day, you're just
Yeah.
home, kicked the shoes off, walked in the door, what are you gonna play?
Maybe something just to calm me down. So I think I'm gonna have something. Yeah, I think, do you know what? I think I'm gonna go with my chilled out option at the moment, something like space trance. So no
Okay.
vocals, just really chilled out, really kind of, yeah, just yeah, something just with a quite a like a good beat to it.
Okay.
But yeah, just something like that that just gets me out of my head and just chills me right down.
Kind of like kind of the old chill out music from the early noughties, late 90s kind of.
Yeah, that kind of thing, definitely. Yeah,
Okay.
just something with a good beat, no lyrics, just yeah, nothing to
Just
focus
nothing.
on. Almost, it's just in the background, and then yeah, just chill right on out to it.
Okay. So you've lived in Ireland, England, and the United Arab Emirates.
I
Okay.
have indeed, yeah. Yeah.
So you've obviously experienced the different cultures. I mean, you've got in the Irish culture, you've got like we are steeped in music. Music is everywhere. Music was outlawed for many years when Ireland was overthrown. It all came back in the end. And music is now coming back, and traditional music is coming back, and you can hear the influences in a lot of Irish rock. Obviously, English music has been predominant in pretty much all of the genres. I mean,
Yeah.
95% of all music is sung in English. Even in like India and China and all the places, they sing in English,
Yeah,
even though they might not
fabulous.
understand
Yeah.
it. And then you've got like all the old rock bands like Led Zeppelin, Jethro Tull, all of those kind of came from England as well. And then you go to the Emiratis. Like,
Yeah.
what is the music influence there? It's the old kind of Muslim kind of music, the influence, the kind of, I don't want to be stereotypical, but it's kind of, I don't know, the Arabian Nights kind of stuff. I mean, have you experienced the influence of all that kind of music, or like?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely. So the expo was in Dubai last year, and they'd won it for 2020, but for obvious reasons, they had
So
to postpone it a
what
bit.
expo is that?
So Expo 2020. So if they built this massive, big pavilion, so they had, spaces for all the different countries, but they had also the central pavilion, and they would have tried to. So they'd have music from all over the world, but they also like they do try to incorporate lots of musicians from all around the world. And I found like there was a video recently that I was watching that a friend of mine, she plays cello out in the UAE, and they got together instrumentalists from all over the world to play the national anthem. And you had like that, traditional input with Emirati instruments and instruments I don't know the name of, I have to be totally honest. But they do try and, promote their own culture, but they're also really, really accepting of all the different cultures. So you do get these really good mixes of what's going on. And yeah, you know, they would have a lot of Arabic music as well. You know, they're on the Arabic radio stations and stuff, so you would hear it, which is that kind of more traditional sound that, you know, you're talking about the Arabian Nights, those kind of instruments you'd hear in songs like that. Yeah, so there definitely is that influence there. But there's also like, there's a really, you know, there's thriving music communities out there. You know, no matter what kind of music you're into, there's always groups out there that you can sing with performers from all over the world. So yeah, it is really multicultural out there, definitely. And the music influences do come from everywhere.
And out of the three countries that you've predominantly lived, is there any country that is more musical than the other, do you think?
Well, I do think, like England, I think there is, they do a lot more music, I think, in schools than maybe I've experienced in Ireland. That's the one thing I definitely have found, is that children have the opportunity to play instruments that I don't remember anybody from, like, where we're from. I don't remember anybody really being like influenced to play, you know, cello or you know, saxophone. I didn't know that many people who played kind of what I would say are orchestral instruments, where I do feel here there's more of a focus on giving children the opportunity. Although, you know, with budget cuts and everything, I think that's becoming there's less and less funding for the arts. But I think definitely there is, yeah, there's this kind of more exposure maybe to different types of music here than maybe we had back home.
You have to remember that we had the tin whistle,
We did,
and
we did, and what a fine instrument it was.
we had the recorder.
Oh my God.
You
Oh,
can't
I'm
forget.
literally cringing at that, the sound of the recorder. How did parents put up with that sound?
Oh man,
How did teachers
seriously.
put up with it?
Well, I will say one thing. The Disney show, The Mandalorian,
Yeah.
that entire theme song was performed on the recorder.
Was it?
Now it's all the different types of recorders. Like there's the alto, there's the bass, there's I think a baritone or whatever different types of recorder you can get. Like there's five or six different types, but
Yeah.
the entire song was played on the recorder.
Interesting. Yeah, you
Now,
learn something new every day, don't you? Yeah.
so it
I mean,
was.
to be fair to the tin whistle as well, like actually, when it's played well, you know, like when there's a trad session or something, somebody plays it, like it is actually a really lovely sounding instrument,
Yeah.
but it's got to be played well. Yeah,
But
definitely.
have you ever, like, I know it's been quite a while since you were in Ireland, and it's been even longer since I was there. But have you ever been in a pub in the middle of nowhere, we'll say Skibbereen for argument's sake,
Yes, yeah, I love it.
and somebody starts playing music, and they'll just, you know, it's the start of the night, they're just getting into it. You know, someone's playing the concertina, someone has the Bowron going, and there's someone on guitar, there's someone on the fiddle, and it's just, you know, it just kind of starts up slowly, and it's just getting into you nicely, and you can almost it just goes into your soul. I don't know if it's because we're Irish, but
No, I think, because I mean, everybody experiences that. I mean, the toes are just tapping away to it, aren't they? Like, I think everybody, it just does. It just gets into you, and you've just got to tap the foot along to it. You know, if you're not up dancing, it's like, yeah, definitely, it does. It moves you.
It does. It gets into your. It gets in like it just like I remember going to see. Now this is kind of a little bit off topic, but I remember going to see Riverdance. Well, I suppose it's not. I mean, Riverdance as it came from Irish classical music, like,
Yeah.
and it just kind of it just you can't help but just fill with pride. Or if like the Riverdance movie that's on, I think it's on Netflix or one of those at the minute. And my little boy was watching it, and you know, all of a sudden, like the Riverdance song came on. And you're just sitting there,
Yeah.
and you're just kind of like, Jesus, I love being fucking Irish. You know what I mean? It just, you know, it just gets into you a little bit, I think. And
Yeah.
I think that's a fantastic thing that music will do to people. It just gets into your soul, and it makes you, I don't know, does it make you kind of feel invincible for a second, or does it?
I think you can do it with the right music, definitely. I mean, if you think, you know, if you're going out for a long run or something and you need that push just to get yourself going that bit faster, like it can do that, can't it? You
It
can get it and
can.
you get something's up tempo and suddenly you're just running as fast as you can.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah.
Yes, I mean, speaking about that, remember a few years ago when I wasn't as rotund as I am now, and I used to run. I remember I was coming home. I was about maybe 2 miles from the house, and I said, "No, that's it. I've nothing left in me. I've absolutely nothing left." This was a time when I was doing triathlons, and I was a bit weird. And next thing you know, the theme tune, the theme tune for Rocky came on. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I was boxing my way down that road. I'd I had the fists going, and I was like, yes, one, you're woman, yes, yeah. Really one.
And it got me. But I mean, that's it. Like, the thing is, something like that, it just gets your endorphins going. Like, they know, you know, the scientific evidence that, and they can measure this, like they can measure the endorphins that you release.
Yeah.
They know that, you know, singing or listening to music, it can release the serotonin, you get your dopamine, all of those. Like, there have been scientific studies done.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are, you know, quite small studies, but they know that, you know, music does this kind of thing to us.
It does.
So it's not in your head, yeah. Like that Rocky theme tune. I think if anybody knows it, like, it's got to be one of those tracks that if you need to just push yourself to that end, that's it. It's going to get you going.
I think so. It's not even... It wasn't the Eye of the Tiger. Like, everybody knows the Eye of the Tiger. It was that.
I
was just like, God, yes, what are you going? But yeah, it just. But there's been thousands of times. I mean, I went to see Metallica years ago in Sydney, and the Ecstasy of Gold came on. It's their song, it's their walk on music, and everybody knew, okay, the band is coming on. And you could just see them. They were striding out onto stage because you had the Ecstasy of Gold in the background. It was just like, you're in the audience and you're watching going, you just think, yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Play that music.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it doesn't, it just like a lot of those, it's just your memories, isn't it? Like, I think there's certain songs that come on and I have them so intrinsically linked to like memories.
Yeah.
I think particularly like, this is when I was listening to a song yesterday and I was like, it just brought me right back to like a holiday, you know, a specific holiday. And I think that's one of the things about music is that it can, you know, you'll put something on that you relate to having a really good time. I think particularly like, you know, our teenage years and things, there's certain songs that I'll hear and like, you know, some of the bands that like our friends were in and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You'll hear a song and I'll just be like, oh, it takes me right back to being in the shed, you know, listen to everybody, you know, practicing tracks and just, it brings you right back.
There was a song played over the Christmas. The Darkness, Don't Let the Bells End.
Oh, yes.
Every time,
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, every time I hear that song, I think it was Christmas Eve, and we were all back in Ireland. Oh, this was years ago. This was 10 or 15 years ago. We were all back in Ireland, and I remember a mutual friend of ours, Gary, was with me. We went up to your house to pick you up, and we were just sitting in the front room. MTV was on. I think your sister Natalie was there, and we were just listening to TV, and all of a sudden, The Darkness came on, and it was like, Don't Let the Bells End. And like, Natalie looked at it and just kind of shook her head, and Gary was sitting beside me. He was like, jeez, grand song. I hate it though. And I was just, I was just sitting there, and I was just like, jeez, I actually like this song, you know? It's one of the cheesiest songs that you could ever get, and the guys are wearing skin-tight leotards, and, you know, I'm just... Now, the musicians, not me and Gary, we weren't... Yeah. That was a different night.
Thank God.
Yeah, no, that was another night. But, yeah, it's just like... And every time I hear that song now, I can just, like, sitting up in your parents' house and, you know, the fire lit, myself and you and Gary and your sister just giggling about nothing really at all. Like, there was nothing funny about it. But at the same time, that's what I love about it. And as you touched on it, a musical, like, even a riff can bring you straight back to somewhere. And it doesn't matter where you are.
I think, like, with older people stuff, like, you know, people with dementia, like, sometimes they will hear a piece of music and that's it. Like, it's such a strong connection for them that it will bring them back to that time.
Yeah.
And it will allow them to kind of, you know, talk about something that maybe they've been, you know, prior to that, they haven't been maybe, you know, being themselves, you know, when they maybe were having an episode. But it could just bring me back. I remember seeing a YouTube video, gosh, a few years ago, and it was of a lady who was in her 90s, and they put on a piece of music from one of the ballets. I think it was Swan Lake, and she had actually danced in the ballets when she was younger. And I mean, you could see, you know, her arms are moving to it, and she remembered the dance music, and she remembered, you know, that memory there. Like, it can, you know, it's just so deep into our psyche, which I just think is incredible.
And it can bring you back. It can definitely bring you back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll tell you, it's been absolutely fantastic talking to you, and it's been great to bring back a few little memories of my own and have a little giggle. So all I can say is, well, Claire, thank you very much for coming on with me. Thanks for being part of my podcast. And to you, all of the listeners out there, thank you so much for joining us. We hope you enjoyed it. You can drop me a quick email. The email's in the show notes. And Asher, I'm going to put Claire's number and email and everything on it. And she likes to get she likes getting phone calls at 3 o'clock in the morning, breathing heavy. So I just feel free to do that. But anyway, listen, thank you all. Thank you, Claire. Great talking to you. Thanks, everybody else. And we will talk to you next Tuesday. Goodbye.
Thanks.